Tonight on the commanded blessing. And I missed one of these. Our hopes in Christ. How many of you are glad our hopes in Christ? I'm glad it's not in the government. Who wants that? This lady in the white. Run up here and I'll give that to you. Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God we live in a free country. Amen. I thank God. She's coming. I'll get it to her. Yeah, she's coming. Amen. But I'm glad that our hope's in Jesus. I'm glad my confidence is in Jesus Christ. I'm glad my confidence is in the Word of God. Amen? Yes. Amen? And I'm going to keep my confidence in Jesus. My son told me the other day, he said, Daddy, I don't care who's in office and I don't care what the tax code is. I have a covenant with God and I'm blessed by the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's the gospel truth. Amen? We're blessed everywhere we go and everything that we do. We're blessed by the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen? And we have a covenant of blessing. In fact, before I share on this commanded blessing, if you'll study the covenant of blessing, it's interesting that in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, he spoke that they were blessed. He made them male and female and blessed them. It says that in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then it says it also in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. So that was about 4,000 years. The fall of man was about 4,000 years before the cross. 4,000 years before Christ. Then in Genesis chapter 9, he spoke to Noah, and this is after the flood. So this was approximately 2,500 years before Christ. So 1,500 years later, he spoke to Noah, and he said that Noah and his sons were blessed. So for the first 1,500 years of man's history, from the creation, from Adam and Eve until Noah, the only people God spoke a blessing over was Adam and Eve and then Noah and his sons. Then in Genesis chapter 12, God made a covenant of blessing with Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You are going to be a blessing. Actually, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says, God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying that in him all the families, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Somebody come help this lady. One of the ushers come right now. They'll help her. Hey, how's that hip?
It's better. I'll know tomorrow when I exercise it.
Oh, it's going to be much better. We see lots of awesome things happen. Praise the Lord. We had a lady in this. I'll just tell this in between, so I don't want to lose my place. But we went to Karis Bible College in Minneapolis last year, and we had a miracle service. And there was a lady, and she was probably 55 or 60, and she had a car accident 9 years earlier, and she had a hip injury, and it was so bad that she almost couldn't walk, and so she had to drop out of Bible school because of that problem. It was so bad. And so God gave me a word of knowledge that there was a problem with the lady with the hip. And I prayed for her. She called the directors the next day and said, I have been completely healed. And Jesus reversed the damage from a car injury 9 years earlier and totally restored her. And we came back the next year and she got up and testified, I'm doing all this. See, the next year she re-enlisted in Bible school and was going to Bible school. Thank God, healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yeah. So we see lots of miracles. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, God spoke that Adam was blessed and Eve was blessed. Then he spoke that He spoke 1,500 years later that Noah was blessed and his sons were blessed. Genesis 9, verse 1 and 2. Then it wasn't to Abraham. Abraham was about 2,000 years before Christ. Now, once God made this covenant of blessing with Abraham, Abraham was blessed, Isaac was blessed, Jacob was blessed, Joseph was blessed, Jesus was blessed, and we're blessed because we're in Christ. And so when you believe on Jesus, you are blessed with believing Abraham. In fact, you've been redeemed from the curse and you've been brought into the blessing. And ultimately, the blessing of that thing is that the Spirit of Christ now lives in us as believers. And we're blessed on the inside. We're not trying to gain the blessing. When you're born again, you're blessed. And so you've already received the blessing, and now you just need to learn to live that out. The blessing of the Lord is on you. Praise God. So we have a covenant of blessing. And but tonight I want to talk a little bit about the commanded blessing. Now, the commanded blessing in one aspect comes through the covenant. And so if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, we know Deuteronomy as the second law. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing and the curses of the law. Now, when I read Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses are the blessings. The last 54 verses, verse 15 through verse 68, are the curses. I not only read the blessings in the first 14 verses, I read the curses. And the reason that I read the curses is because I want to know what I'm redeemed from. Now, Pastor was up here tonight and he said, let's just declare that we're never going to have cancer. Did you know cancer is one of the curses? It's called emerods in the King James. I think it's Deuteronomy 28, verse 27. It means tumors. Cancer is a tumor. So we are redeemed from the curse of cancer. We have personally seen a lot of people healed of cancer. And one way we get them healed, when we pray for them, we give them Galatians 3, 13, and 14. And we give them Deuteronomy 28, 27. And then we curse the cancer because it's a curse. And we thank God that the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead is bringing life and health and strength to their body. And so I had four men in my church in the last couple of years that were supposed to die from cancer, and they're all healed today.
Hallelujah.
One of them came to me. He was healed of cancer in the early 1980s through the ministry of Kenneth Hagin Jr., but that took him like 6 years and a lot of medical treatment. And so he came to my church and a couple of years ago, and they told him, this was December, I think it was December the 14th, 2014, they gave him this report that he had leukemia. And, I mean, they had like one, two, three, all these blood things said leukemia, and then they said they had 48% kidney function. And he told me, Pastor, I'm not going to go through any treatment. I'm just going to go home and rest. He heard my teaching on Hebrews 4. That Jesus is the rest of this new covenant. And I wouldn't tell this to everybody, but to this man, he's a strong man of faith. I said, that's fine, you do that. And now he did receive prayer from some of the elders, but he didn't do anything. And then like 2.5 months later, the Lord said, now go get checked out. And so March 14th, exactly 3 months later, he went to Mayo Clinic and they checked him out. And I've held both reports in my hand, one report over here, says leukemia, 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 and 48% kidney function, December 14, 2014. And I may have the day wrong, but I know it was 3 months. I know it was December 14 and March of 15, 3 months exactly. This one over here says normal, 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 normal. Completely healed, no medical treatment. It's a miracle. Jesus is the miracle worker, praise God. We are blessed and we are not cursed, amen? We live under the commanded blessing of the Lord. Now, part of this commanded blessing of the Lord is in the covenant. So if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8, it says this in Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. It says, the Lord shall command his blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. Praise God. If you want God to bless your storehouses, you need to get some storehouses for him to bless. You need to have a place. I told people, I taught a message on living off the top of the barrel, and I said, you need more than one storehouse. You ought to have a savings account. You ought a stock account. Buy a house, right? If I'm going to live anywhere for very long, I'm going to buy the house because I'm not going to buy it. If I rent it, I'm just buying it for somebody else, so I'm going to buy it. So buy a house. That's one of the best things that you can do financially. You know, you have to use some wisdom with that. But one thing God's blessed us with, you need to have a good and a profitable business. There's different ways that God can bless you. Amen? You know, God gave us a business when we started our first church. We were out in eastern Colorado in a very small town. And God gave us a business, and we use that business. Basically, the church paid us a little bit, but we use that business to start two churches. And then after we started two churches with it, now we're taking the money out of it and putting it over in retirements. Praise God. And we had to get away to, you know, I mean, we had to start retirements to solve a tax problem. That's a good problem to have. Amen? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And so we're just blessed everywhere we go. Everything we do is blessed. Amen? The blessing of the Lord is coming on us and making us rich. And it adds no sorrow. That's supposed to be my That was supposed to be the verse I was supposed to start with, was Proverbs 10, verse 22. And it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Toil doesn't add to it. I know people that work night and day and never get ahead. You know, the Bible says 6 days shall you work and 1 day shall you rest. That means some of us need to speed up and some of us need to slow down. But I know people that work 7 days a week and never get ahead. And I know people that work about 5 days, but yet they're only there about three of them. And they never get ahead. Because God doesn't bless slothfulness. You know, he blesses work. I tell people if they're going in the ministry, because I teach a lot in Bible school, I say, if you're going to the ministry, you need to like to work. If you don't like to work, don't go in the ministry. And definitely don't come to work for me, because we will not get along. I grew up old school. My dad's favorite scripture was, if you don't work, you don't eat. And the next one was, I'd say, Daddy, but Jesus is going to come. Why are we doing all this? And he'd say, the Bible says, occupy till I come. Get to work. I'd say, yes, sir. But it served me well. It's been good to me. God's been really, really good to me. But the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, makes us receive abundance and blessing and favor. And wealth comes with the blessing of the Lord. That's part of the blessing of the Lord. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, it's part of God's covenant. He says in verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. And he will bless you in the land that he gives you. He says, the Lord will establish you holy people. And he says, as you keep his commandments, walk in his ways. Of course, we know today that the blessings come on us because of Jesus. If you're in Christ, you're blessed. If you're not in Christ, you're not blessed. Amen? So glory to God, every born-again believer is blessed. Now he says then in verse 10, all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, or they'll stand in awe of you. You know, when I started out in the ministry, we didn't have a lot. And after a few years, we'd been in the cattle business, and the market went down. There were a lot of difficulties. And we'd lost most of the money that we'd earned in it for a few years. And I went, and this banker was talking about cutting me off. And he was the Methodist banker. And so, you know, I just decided that year I would go to my own town and go to the Baptist banker. So I went and sat down before the Baptist banker. And I prayed that year before I bought cattle. And it was one of those years. I mean, it was in February and dirt was blowing. It was a drought. It didn't look like we should buy cattle, and I was praying, and God gave me this word that my cattle would feed in large pastures. And I went and borrowed all the money that I could and bought all the cattle that I could, and the market kept going down, and corn kept getting higher, and cattle got cheaper, and I lost all of my equity that I had. But I had obeyed God. God had given me a word. I like to obey God, even in the little things. You know, Monday, I was going to go look at a building, a church where considering expanding and different things. And the Lord woke me up Monday morning and said, don't go to that appointment. I called the guy first thing and said, we're canceling that appointment. You know, just obey God. Just obey God. And if you can't be obedient in the little things, you know, how are you going to get in the great? And I don't like to be weird, but man, when God tells me don't do something, I don't need to do it. So just need to listen to what he says and do what he says. But anyway, God spoke to me. Now, cattle went down, corn price went up, I lost all my equity. In fact, that Methodist banker was talking about calling my note. So I went to this Baptist banker in town, and this Baptist banker, I sat across from his desk and I said, listen, cattle are cheap and corn is high, but I believe it's going to rain. This is about the 1st of April. And I said, I believe cattle are going to go up and corn's going to go down, and I'm going to make more money than I've ever made in my life. And I had $100,000 of cattle and $100,000 note. He said, I'll take that. And you know what? I prophesied my own destiny. And May 28th, it started raining, and it rained all summer, and cattle went up and corn went down. And I made more money than I'd ever made in my life up to that point. Praise God. And a few years later, I started our ministry, Caris Ministries, and we had almost none. And I pastored in Kit Carson, and I'd travel a little bit. And, you know, I stopped by that Methodist banker to put my account for Caris Ministries, and I'd been preaching over here in West Texas in a little bitty town up there west of Amarillo. And I preached at home in Kit Carson on Sunday and then went there Sunday night through Friday or Wednesday night and preached and then came back through this town I was from and stopped by that banker's And you know that Methodist banker that was wanting to call my note in my business a few years earlier? He said, you know what? You went to that town, it looks like it should blow away, and you built a beautiful church, and God bless that. And then he says, you bought a house. And he said, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. We bought a house from DIA and had it moved there. It was a miracle, and God bless that. And you got in the cattle business, and when everybody else made $100, you made $200. When everybody else made $50, you made $100. When they lost $50, you broke even. When they lost $100, you only lost $50. And God bless your cattle. God bless your house. He bless your cattle. He bless your church. And he said, I believe God's going to bless that too. Praise God. And Charis Ministries became Charis Christian Center. And we started in 3 years after that in Colorado Springs with only two families and almost no money. And we've given every year between 15 and 20% of our money away. And you know what? Today, we're about 1,000 people every Sunday. We have our building, which is worth $3 or $4 million, completely paid off. Amen? And we have money in the bank for the next project because Jesus told me, pay that one off and save 20%. So we just keep doing what Jesus told us to do. And people can stand today and they can see the blessing of the Lord. And you know what? I'm really good friends with that Baptist banker. Amen? I'm really good friends with that Methodist banker. Praise God. Why? Because they can see the blessing of the Lord. He said, people will see it and they'll stand in awe of the blessing of God that's on your life. And the Lord will make you to have plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Thank God we have plenty. We don't lack in any area of life. We have everything we need to do everything God's called us to do. We lack in no area of life. Amen? We are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. When I drove up to this place, Barbara's telling the truth. I said, man, this is a place of vision. I love this place. Yeah. Praise God. It takes a man of vision to have something like this. Praise God. In fact, this church reminds me a lot of Dr. Lester Sumrall's church that where I was. And when I went to Bible school, I was in his church. Andrew Womack didn't have a Bible school then. But the blessing is part of the covenant. Now, another aspect of this is in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. And when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, these foreign kings got afraid of them. And so Balak hired Balaam to come. Balak was a foreign king, hired Balaam, a foreign prophet, to pronounce a curse on the children of Israel. And so he came and he didn't bless them once. He blessed them three times. But here in the middle one, in Numbers 23, verse 19, this is what Balaam, a foreign prophet, this even makes this stronger than if one of Israel's prophets said it. When a foreign prophet comes and speaks a blessing, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. See, we live under the commanded blessing of the Lord. And he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has blessed. Thank God. You know, God can put a blessing on you that nobody in their witchcraft and their all the things that they try to do can reverse. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Thank God, God is not looking at our sin, our fault and failure. God is looking at Jesus. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. He's not looking at our rebellion. He's not looking at all the things that we've done wrong. God is looking at Jesus, and when you're in Christ, you're blessed. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He goes on and says this in verse, he says, the Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it will be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God done? Thank God, I don't care how anybody tries to curse me. I don't care what anybody says about me. My opinion is not in somebody else's head. My opinion, you know what? God, it's in what God said about me. It's in what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus says I'm blessed. And if God has blessed me, there's nobody that can reverse that. Amen? He has blessed. Thank God he has blessed us over and over again. And so we live under the commanded blessing of the Lord. That is part of God's covenant, number one. The second thing is, if you go back to, let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 25. And Leviticus chapter 25, we're talking, God started speaking to the children of Israel about the 50th year, or the year of Jubilee. And there were seven things that happened in Jubilee. Slaves went free, debts were forgiven, everybody came to their own possession. How many of you know Jesus came to restore to you everything that Adam lost? They came to their proper place in the family. They ate the increase of the, as it says in verse 12. Verse 14 says, you will not oppress one another. But the last one is found in verse 21. He says then, now he's talking about the 50th year. But the 50th year was after seven sets of seven. So the children of Israel let the land rest every seventh year. So the sixth year they didn't plant. The seventh year they didn't reap because they didn't plant in the sixth year. And the eighth year, because they didn't plant in the seventh year, they didn't reap. So God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to command my blessing on your land in the sixth year, and it's going to bring forth fruit for 3 years. That's supernatural increase. So when we begin to understand this, Jesus is our Jubilee, and because Jesus is our Jubilee, all those promises of Jubilee are given to us through Christ. So slaves go free, debts are forgiven, we go back to the proper place in the family, our property's restored, we eat the increase, we don't oppress one another, oppression will cease, but we live under the commanded blessing of the Lord, and it's not something that we just get every sixth year, praise God. Jesus is our Jubilee, or every 50th year. We live in continual blessing. We live under the commanded blessing of Almighty God. He has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us again. Amen? Now there's one more, and I want to go to Psalm 133 that talks about the commanded blessing, and I'm going really fast. So we could teach this and take more time, but I'm just here for a short time. But in Psalm 133, the scripture says this, and I want to look at it really quickly. It says in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, when we come together in unity, when we work together in the body of Christ, there's a blessing on that. When people get in strife, you know, the Bible says where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I tell people, avoid strife at all costs. Avoid strife at all costs. He says, now when brethren get together in unity, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. See, when people get together in unity, there's an anointing that's flowing from the head. It flows down over the beard. It flows down over the skirt. Flows to the body. You know, there's some things that you can't get in some places because they're not operating in it. You know, somebody said this. I didn't say this about my church. Somebody else said this about my church. They said it'd be hard to stay in my church and stay sick and poor. You know why? Because there's an anointing flowing in our church. There's an anointing flowing in our church for healing. We teach healing. We teach what the Bible says about healing. It's time we get back to saying what the Bible says, not what religion says. And we have a covenant right to be healed. We have just as much to be right to be healed in our body as we do to be healed, to be forgiven in our spirit, to be born again. Why? Because Jesus paid for our healing at the same time that he paid for our forgiveness. So we have a covenant of healing. Thank God. And we teach that, and we see people healed over and over and over again. But not only do we see people heal, we have people prosper supernaturally. I had one couple, they moved from Pennsylvania, and it was a struggle for them just to pay their bills. And they came in the other day, they've been in the church 5 or 6 years, and they said, Pastor, we want you to know that our tithe today exceeds what we used to make. Our tithe, since we've come to this church, our tithe exceeds what our income was 6 years ago. Thank God, when you get in a place where people teach you what the Bible says. You know, I've been criticized for teaching on prosperity. But it's time that we get back and teach what the Bible actually says. Amen? To see, the scripture says that God, he says in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Thank God that word prosper is the Greek word eudo, and it means to help along the way. Some of us need some help between here and heaven. Praise God. And we're prospering. Everything that we touch, everywhere that we go, we're prospering. You know, I've taught my boys. I have three sons. I've taught them what the Bible says about our covenant. And I told you what the oldest one said. You know, he was down here at Rice University. And he, first of all, went to Carnegie Mellon. And when he got the paperwork from Carnegie Mellon, I said, you're not going to go there. That costs too much money. He said, Dad, what's wrong with you? Don't you have faith? And you know what? He ended up going to Carnegie Mellon University. And they first told him, there's no scholarships for you. But by the time they got done, they gave him about $20,000 a year. And then I paid about $7,000 a year. And then he worked, and then he took loans. And when he got done with school, he had about $25,000 in loans. And then a master's position came up at Rice University in the music department, just his specific area. And he studied with two of the top teachers in the world in that field. One of them's at Carnegie Mellon, and one of them's at Rice University, two of the top three. And so there were 100 people that were trying for that position, and he got it. It was full tuition, right? And then they gave him $2,500 towards room and board. And then the teacher said, if you'll buy him a car, she said, I will make sure that he gets enough work that all the rest of his bills will be paid. I went and bought him a car. I was up for that time. And it was when GM was in their downturn. I went to this great big Chevy dealership in Colorado Springs. They had a Chevy Impala. It was a program car. Had about 30,000 miles on it. It was like 1 year old. And they had been asking $16,000. And I told them, I'm not going to come out and even look at it unless you'll sell it to me for $10,000. Well, they said, come drive it. So I went and drove it. And I bought it for $10,000. And he's still driving it today. And it's a good car. And it served him well. And you know what? He finished. He didn't have any debt on that. But when he got done with his master's degree, he took 1 year off between his master's and doctorate, and he started to have to pay that debt from his $25,000 from his undergrad. And so he called me in November, the year that he was taken off, and he said, Dad, I got to start paying on this. What should I do? I said, Aaron, if you'll believe God, within 1 year, by next December, you'll have that completely paid off. He said, I'll tell you what, Daddy, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to pay it off by June 1st. You know what? He called me May 18th. Now, he's a flute player with no regular job. He called me May 18th, said, Daddy, I made the last payment. And so he had this agreement. If he didn't get his dream job, he'd go on and apply for his doctorate, which he's done and finished. And so he's still got to write his dissertation, but he's done all that. And so he got in their doctoral program, and he was studying and working. When I dropped him off at the airport to fly back down to Houston in Denver, I dropped him off at the airport. I texted him a message right after I dropped him off. I said, Aaron, if you'll believe God, by the time you graduate with your doctorate, you'll have at least $100,000 net worth. Now, he doesn't have $100,000 net worth. He has a $200,000 net worth. Hallelujah. And you know what? He's given to God the whole time. He doesn't even have until now, he got his first regular paycheck. But until now, he's not had a regular job the whole time, and God has blessed him over and over and over again. That's my oldest son. My middle son, Andrew, he's 27 years old. He manages jobs that are $30 and $40 million. His base pay is more than, you know, a lot of people ever make. It's just amazing to me how God's blessed him. You know, and my youngest son, Peter, he's 25 years old, and he went to Princeton University. And you know, when Peter was in seventh grade, I got to tell you the story about Peter, and I'll end with this. We're just, you know, I'm taking a little bit of time. I don't want to go too long. But Peter, when he was in seventh grade, went to youth camp, and he said, Daddy, you're not going to have to worry about my college education. I'm going to get a scholarship, and I'm going to get in through sports. And then when he's a junior in high school, God spoke to him, and he said, Daddy, I'm going to go to Princeton University. Well, we knew it was hard to go to Princeton. We knew a lot of people didn't get in there. But my oldest son was going to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, and he was raising money to help pay for his college for the school there. And my oldest son said, Daddy, if he gets in Princeton, let him go, because they've got like a $13 billion endowment, and most of it will be paid for. Well, Peter got in Princeton, and Peter graduated, and it was completely paid for. We paid about $7,000 a year, but it was, you know, it's about a $250,000 education, completely paid for. And today, Peter is the... senior manager of the retail division of Tim Hortons Coffee in Canada, works in Toronto. Amazing, amazing favor on his life. He's the youngest person to ever make partner in their corporations. In fact, it's part of the 3G capital out of South America, and they've never made anyone partner that's not a CEO or a CFO. So we have tremendous, tremendous favor. But when Peter was in his second year of college, they said, Peter, we want you to meet the grandson of the man that paid for your education in the 1800s. And so Peter went there. And when he went to that meeting, they said, is anybody here a missionary's child? And nobody raised their hand. They said, and then so Peter raised his hand. He said, hey, he said, I'm not a missionary's child, but he said, my dad's a pastor, and he gives lots of money to missionaries. And so this man in the 1800s put this money away for missionaries' children, ministers' children, to go to college, and Peter got a scholarship. And did you know what? Peter's education at Princeton University was paid for over 100 years before he was ever born. Did you know your salvation, your redemption, your healing, your prosperity was paid for over 2,000 years ago? Jesus paid for it. And you can receive a word from God today and believe what the Bible says and put a demand by faith on what grace has provided and receive that in your life. And you know what? I've got three boys. It's working in every one of their lives. But you know what? We're just living in what God's promised us. But it'll work for anybody, anywhere that'll believe it. The gospel is for whosoever will believe it. And so if you'll believe the word of God, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Whosoever believes. What are you believing today? Praise God. So I'm believing some things. Amen? And I'm believing God today for more than I've ever believed Him for before. Amen? I told my middle son, I've made some of my goals. If you read my book, Uncommon Favor, it talks about it. Talks about different goals. You know, when I was going to Bible school, I was making $4 or $4.25 an hour going to Dr. Summerall's Bible school. I was working all day, going to Bible school all night. You know, I mean, we gave our tithe, we paid our rent, we bought gas, we paid our utilities, and we ate off of the rest. I mean, there wasn't a lot left. And somebody came and preached at Dr. Summerall's church, and they said, how many people in here are believing for $1 million? And there's about 3,000 people in church, and I stood up and two other guys. I thought, this is pathetic. 3,000 people, and there's only three of us in here believing God for $1 million? And you know, I crossed that. When I crossed that, I called all my boys and I told them, and my middle son, and I said, now this is what I'm going to believe for going forward. My middle son, Andrew, said, Daddy, you ought to increase that by at least 10 times. Praise God. And it's no small goal. But you know what? God has literally put him in a place where he could be at that kind of a level. And what you receive has a lot to do with what you believe. And so if you want to receive different things, it's time that you start putting a demand by faith on what grace has provided and start receiving the blessing of God in your life. Whether it's a blessing of salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom, whatever it is, put a demand by faith on God's grace and receive what God has for you. Let's all stand up. And Pastor, do you want me to do the altar call now or do you want to come do the offering? You tell me how you want to operate. But if you stand up, I'll pray and bless you. But if there's people right now, if you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus right now. Praise God. Or if you need to be healed, praise God, haven't received already, you can be healed right now. Praise God. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues, you can come and receive that right now. Praise God. Or if you just say, we just need something working.